Hello, and welcome to Flatbush in Maine, a podcast from the Brooklyn Historical Society, where we make history the Brooklyn way.
Today we continue our look into the lives of the three men who have served our country as Captain America: Stephen Rogers, James Buchanan Bucky Barnes, and Samuel Wilson. The Brooklyn Historical Society's exhibition on Captain America's long history with the city of Brooklyn, Captain America at Home, runs December 1st through March 30th.
Previously, we looked at Captain America the symbol, a figure represented on posters, placards, comic books, and playing cards. This week, we turn to the men behind the mask.
Any discussion of Captain America has to start with Steve Rogers.
Right, right.
Who has inspired millions of people around the globe. Born July 4th, 1918, Rogers was a sickly youth. He was in and out of hospitals throughout his younger years, fighting conditions ranging from scarlet fever to rheumatic fever to high blood pressure to asthma and a number of other chronic conditions.
Yikes, not fun.
No, let's hear it for antibiotics and vaccines.
Yeah.
Anyway, his father, Private Joseph Rogers, died in one of the German spring offensives during World War I, 3 months before his son was born. Steve Rogers was raised by his mother, Sarah, who worked as a nurse in a tuberculosis ward. She herself tragically contracted and succumbed to the disease in 1938, leaving Steve Rogers entirely alone.
We don't have a record of when Steve Rogers met his childhood best friend, Bucky Barnes, but following his mother's death, the two moved into an apartment just a stone's throw away from our studio here in downtown Brooklyn.
Cool.
In fact, a reproduction of the apartment they shared forms a central part of the Captain America at Home exhibit. It's been modeled from photographs and blueprints from the archives of the Brooklyn Historical Society and the Tenement Museum, since the actual building was knocked down in the early 50s.
Yes, and Brooklyn in the 1930s was a very different place than it is today. Where there are Starbucks and yellow cabs now, there would have been fruit vendors, knife sharpeners, and still, horse-drawn carts. The streetcars would be screeching along their tracks and ringing their bells.
James Buchanan Barnes was born in 1917 and was the oldest child of four, which, you know, we don't exactly know how Barnes and Rogers met, aside from the fact that it happened in 1926. But as an eldest sibling myself, I could see how he might have taken Rogers under his wing.
Oh, yeah. The oldest kids tend to sort of adopt those around them.
Yeah, the mom friend.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, we do know that they grew up together, attended school together, and were virtually inseparable during that time. The loss of Sarah Rogers brought them even closer.
The two shared only a handful of quiet years together, until the 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor swept the nation formally into World War II. Barnes enlisted in the Army shortly thereafter and was promptly sent to Camp McCoy in Wisconsin for training. Meanwhile, Rogers did the same, or attempted to. His ongoing health issues earned him a 4F rating from the medical board. But that didn't stop him.
No.
He proceeded to reapply at somewhere between 6 and 12 other locations that we know of under different names over the next 2 years.
His reasons for doing so are somewhat obscured. Whether it was out of patriotism, a desire to combat the rise of fascism, a hope of reconnecting with Barnes, or a combination of all of these things is unknown. Not many historical figures rise from the grave to settle arguments among historians and scholars, but even after his return in 2011, Rogers was notoriously tight-lipped with the media and press on the subject of his own history.
In 1943, he attended the World Exposition of Tomorrow in Queens, where we like to think he might have stopped by the Stark Expo to see Howard Stark's flying car. But we do know that there was an Army recruitment center there, and Rogers decided to try his luck one more time. In a twist of fate, he met Dr. Abraham Erskine of the Strategic Scientific Reserve. Erskine was a scientific lead on an experimental program codenamed Project Rebirth, and a German refugee. He recruited Rogers into the program. Rogers jumped at this chance to serve, and while his friend Barnes shipped out to the front, Rogers was sent to Camp Lehigh in New Jersey, where he first met Agent Peggy Carter, Colonel Chester Phillips, and Howard Stark, all of whom would play starring roles in the story of Captain America.
While the other candidates for Project Rebirth far surpassed him in terms of physical prowess, Rogers somehow stood out from the crowd. Something about him caught the attention of his superiors, who shocked his cohort by selecting him for the dangerous and risky procedure that would miraculously transform him into Captain America.
But Rogers didn't go straight from Project Rebirth to the front. At first, the military didn't know what to do with him. Dr. Erskine was killed by a German spy moments after Rogers' transformation, taking the knowledge of how to create super soldier serum with him. So there went all the big plans to form a whole unit of super soldiers. The army was like, what do we do with this one guy? He's a great guy, but still.
Their go-to was, of course, propaganda. They intended to boost the war effort by touring Captain America around the United States, selling war bonds to the public. Poor Cap was forced to star in a touring show with a whole bunch of chorus girls. This is also where that old classic, The Star-Spangled Man with the Plan, originates.
No, do not. I will get it stuck in my head again.
Okay.
We've already talked about Captain America, the icon, at length in our previous podcast, so we aren't going to go too in-depth on his time during the war. We know that he reunited with Barnes, forming the Howling Commandos, and shifted his role from USO star to Special Operations Commander, targeting HYDRA, the Nazi Science Division. Not long after the loss of his friend Barnes in 1945, Steve Rogers famously sacrificed himself to save New York by crashing the HYDRA plane he was navigating into the frigid waters of the Atlantic. The plane and his body were thought to be lost until 2011, when they were rediscovered by a Stark Industries scientific vessel. And to everyone's surprise, he survived!
Yeah, thanks to the super serum. I don't think even he expected that.
In 2011, Rogers joined S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers, famously assisting in the Battle of New York. In 2014, while living in Washington, D.C., he met and befriended a VA counselor who turned out to be Senior Airman Sam Wilson. He and Wilson worked together to root HYDRA out of S.H.I.E.L.D. in 2014. But in 2015, Rogers stepped back from public life, though Captain America did not. Unbeknownst to anyone, Captain Rogers had quietly handed the S.H.I.E.L.D. over to his childhood friend and second-in-command, James Buchanan Barnes, who, it turned out, also received a form of the super serum and so has also survived to this day.
Not a lot of people saw that one coming.
No.
I remember where I was when the news reports came out that Bucky Barnes was alive. Do you remember?
Oh, I totally remember. I thought I had to be hearing things. I thought maybe I was losing it.
I know just what you mean. So, okay, let's talk some more about Bucky Barnes. As we mentioned, James Buchanan Barnes was born right here in Brooklyn on March 10th, 1917, to parents George and Pamela Barnes.